scripture today comes from Colossians 2, 1 through 7. While everybody's getting the book, it's on page 1027 of the Pew Bible. I'd like to say this. Our Sunday school class has been going through some series of legacy, studying legacy. We studied the faith, leaving a legacy of faith, leaving a legacy of hope. And today we finished up with a legacy of love. Again, the scriptures we're reading today talks about that love. And God, help us today to not only hear and read your word, but help us to apply it to our lives. That's the important thing. Reading the word ain't worth nothing if you don't apply it. Colossians 2, 1 through 7. For I want you to know what a great conflict or struggle I have for you and those in Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and obtaining to all riches of the fullness of assurance of the understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Willie. Now, let's see if I can remember not to step in this pan of water over here. Although that would be rather eventful. I understand that my jump rope is not still up and available for people to see very often, but that my hula hoop is still out there in cyberspace. I'd hate to add stepping in all of this and tripping and falling over the chair to that. We come here today for a variety of reasons. But one of those on this Memorial Day Sunday is to remember influences from the past. Influences in military for our freedom, but even more so, I think, influences in our lives, in this church, in the community, in churches and families in which we grew as we came along as children and as adults. We think back on those in the military who gave lives serving the country. We remember members of our church who have died in the past year, or even those who have died years ago. And we also remember perhaps some of the actions or the teachings of someone in our church or our neighborhood as way back as a couple of days ago, perhaps. Something that was said or done that helped us, that inspired us, that challenged us to live better lives. Some of our memories may be fond ones as we think back on loved ones or teachers or others. Some may be unpleasant. After all, even those who have stood firm and tall were not perfect. Sometimes we become saddened or discouraged when we think back on a person or a past relationship that has been lost either to death or to some misunderstanding. And that's okay that we think back with sadness or discouragement, provided that we don't just get stuck there and can never move along from that place. But today I want us to think more about and remember more about both persons in our lives and God in Christ and in us, and to find encouragement for today and tomorrow and the days ahead. As Paul writes this letter to the Colossians, a letter that has also been titled by some as the letter to the Laodiceans, because they are mentioned and the churches weren't that far apart, and perhaps Paul meant for it to be circulated. But as he writes this and moves from chapter 1, where he talks about the elemental spirits and Christ being above everything, into chapter 2 in the letter, he assures the folks to whom he's writing that his fellowship with them has resulted in pastoral labor. It's not just that he came to do the labor and then go about his own business. But what has increased that labor has been the fellowship that he has experienced with them. And the labor that he has experienced with them. As he speaks to the Colossians and possibly the Christians in Laodicea and other places, he says that this call he has received is a universal one. And in this statement to them, Paul indicates that his work, his striving, literally the Greek word means to contest for something, is for all who will come together in what Preston MacLeod calls, I quote, the fellowship of kindred minds, end of quote. Although I think he borrows that from a song that we sometimes sing, Blessed Be the Tie that Binds. But Paul says that his work, his striving, is for anyone who will come together in a fellowship of kindred minds. And I would add to that, kindred spirits together. It is through his instruction given in a spirit of love that immature believers may develop what he wants for them, inner strength and discernment in their Christian lives. And so Paul remembers them, but he wants them to remember what they have been taught so that they might find discernment, so that they might uncover inner strength that they didn't think that they had in order to continue the fellowship and the labor in and for the faith. Paul's wish here is that the believers will be encouraged. Now, it's interesting that in the Greek context, that particular word also means to be strengthened in heart, to be affirmed, and to gain strength from that. And that strength and the strengthened encouragement that they gain will be affirmed by their loyalty to Christ and to His church. Paul doesn't just talk about being loyal to Christ ever, separate from that loyalty and fidelity to the church, the body of believers at large, but especially the local body of believers as gathered. And when we receive that strengthened encouragement, then by loyalty, Paul contends, that we can additionally strengthen someone else, encourage someone else, help them to discern their presence and the hope that is found within the church. His hope is that they will honor Christ and their commitment to both Christ and the church above all else that they do. One of the byproducts of this loyalty to Christ is that the followers will be knit together in love, and I would add, in deference to each other. Because love, true love, tends to defer to someone else, does it not? True love tends to look for the good in someone else. True love tends to think, it's not all about me, but when I do or defer to someone else for the good, I also gain the good. And from that, strength and encouragement. This being knit together in love will also both give, allow them to give and receive instruction as friends and fellow sojourners along this path together. The instruction is not issued at once, nor is it understood at one time or at one sitting. But this attitude, this spirit toward that instruction shows a willingness to be led in understanding the knowledge of God's mystery, that is, of Christ, and an openness to search the depths of wisdom. The God whom Christ reveals. That's the depth of wisdom. I got all kinds of books in my office, and I have to admit to you, I have not read all of them. I've read all of most of them and some of all of them. But with all of that stuff and with all of that reading and with all the other trivia that packs into what I call a brain, I still do not know the full depths of the wisdom of God whom Christ reveals. And that is what we are called in part to remember. To remember what God does for us and in us, but also those things that others who have gone on before us, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, a choir director, a minister of education or youth or children, a VBS teacher, or perhaps just a close friend in the neighborhood. The insights that they have given to us, where we found those aha moments, where we would have missed that mystery, that wisdom of God in Christ. To remember those and to take from them encouragement. Encouragement to live life, encouragement to continue to grow in God, and to treasure the wisdom, the knowledge, and the hope for which Christ is the depository. It is in Jesus that wisdom and knowledge and hope come to ultimate truth. And through Jesus and His understanding of Scripture and His way of living life together, that we find that ultimate truth for life. For life with Jesus, yes, but for life with each other, even more importantly. To remember and to be encouraged and to be an encourager. But we also find here something strange. It says that mystery, that wisdom, that truth that is hid in Christ. Strange statement that treasures are hidden. When we might expect Paul to say that in Christ they are revealed. Well, they are. But what Paul is most likely doing is addressing a group of people who are influenced. We do know that the church at Colossae was influenced by Gnostics who believed that only secret knowledge revealed to a select few would bring one into the presence of God. And Paul is countering that by saying in Christ we have access to unlimited stores of truth which the world in general doesn't see. That's what he means by hidden. The world at large cannot see these truths, cannot understand these stores of truths. But they are truths which are a deeper part of the mysteries of God. Open secrets which are only understood as we spiritually mature. not written down here, but kind of, you know, how my brain goes. I'm thinking back to when Jesus talks about the purpose of parables. And he paraphrases very closely Isaiah chapter 6. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 12, we find, in order that seeing they may see but not perceive, hearing they may hear but not understand, unless they should repent and be forgiven. The world in general doesn't understand those truths. Therefore, it is even more incumbent upon you and me to remember that time of repentance, to remember those truths that we have found, and to remember that we are not perfect, nor are those of whom we think, and that we need to continue to repent of those shortcomings so that we might understand further the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Coming to spiritual maturity, a maturity that comes only by growth, and growth comes by studying and sharing in loving relationships, the loving relationships of a believing and serving Christian community. This involves a commitment to remember, a commitment to serving in love and grace, a commitment that I am not only going to seek encouragement, but I am going to be committed to be an encourager of others to seek that truth, an encourager of others to be committed, an encourager of others to find the mysteries of God and share them as they are remembered. A further result of remembering and encouraging is to keep us from being deluded, literally talked into false teaching. I know nobody's ever been smooth-talked. I mean, I wouldn't think any of y'all have ever been smooth-talked into anything before. And I'm sure you've never smooth-talked somebody, but that's basically what Paul's talking about here. The smooth talk. To avoid that by remembering and by finding encouragement. For when we remember those strong examples of faith, those teachers and others in our past, perhaps a family member, perhaps one that was not very outspoken. My grandfather, Hearn, Papa, didn't have a whole lot to say, but when he spoke, you paid attention. Because you knew when he spoke, there was something in what he said. To remember even those folks, or maybe even more so, to remember those who weighed their words carefully, who were strong examples and strong teachers, bringing joy and encouragement. And when we do this, we develop a firmness of faith in Christ. Not just the creeds, but the firmness of life and conduct which results from faith in Christ. A conduct that goes along with what we remember of God in Christ and of those strong examples that we have. Francis W. Bayer states that beginning in verses 6 and 7, Paul shows his readers, and I quote, "the consequences which follow from their participation in the cosmic work of reconciliation accomplished by Christ. They are to hold fast to the teachings about Christ, that which they received as transmitted from teachers." He also speaks of the challenge present every day for the Christian. "As you were privileged and received Christ Jesus," this is Paul, "the challenge is to be proved in living life in Christ." That's our challenge every day. To remember. To be thankful for what God has given us, and to remember each day those who have gone before, those who are around us, those with whom we had an encounter perhaps even yesterday, in whom we can find strength, in whom we can find encouragement. Paul says we are to be rooted and built up, like a plant growing or a building being constructed, and established established in the faith. Interestingly enough, this particular Greek word is in the present tense, which means I am established now, and for the immediate future I continue to be established. And when we find ourselves established each and every day through that remembrance, then we too can find encouragement and continue with that in thanksgiving. These metaphors here indicate a progressive firmness of faith as we remember God in Christ. As I said earlier, not something that we gained only at one sitting. And those teachers and others, family members that we remember from the past, didn't come to their knowledge and their understanding at one sitting. Rather, the things that we find through progression of life, a progression of firmness of faith, as they remembered God, as they remembered the teachings they received and continued to pursue, not only teaching them to others by words, but also by deed. So as we remember God in Christ, as we remember these whom we honor and who are dear to us in our own lives, familial and otherwise, may we also remember that those teachings bring encouragement to us, so that our loyal faith to Christ and the church may cause others to be encouraged. And that someday, not because of who we are, but because of whose we are and our faithfulness, they too will remember. They will remember that we were strong leaders, even though we may not have said a whole lot. They will remember our discriminating judgment, which could be trusted, because we remember and find encouragement in those whom God has blessed our lives. Would you join me in prayer? O Lord our God, we do come thinking of those who have been here before us, or perhaps are even now around us, those whose teachings and lives have been strong examples of faith and commitment, those whose teachings and lives can inspire and encourage us that we too might continue to grow and be encouragers. Help us as we remember those who have given their lives not only in service of our country, but who have given and continue to give their lives to us. May we truly do them proud as well as we seek to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 552. I am thine, O Lord. As we stand and as we sing, our altar is open for any decision that you might make, any recommitment that might come through your heart. Hymn number 552.